We hear a lot of talk about health care. We spend a lot of money on health care, yet we seem to get so little of either. If you're ready for real science, common sense health from two guys who care, welcome to Have a Heart Health Radio. Here are your hosts, health journalist Bill Sardi and health warrior Dave Stouter.
Welcome, everyone, to Have a Heart Health Radio. Thanks for joining us this weekend. Yours truly, Dave Stouter, the health warrior, and with me,
Bill Sardi, your noted health journalist, or not-so-noted health journalist, who's here to dribble-drabble everything that's bad about a modern American medicine and tell you some sort of direction, how you find your way out of the mess that we're in, and how to get healthier. And David Stouter is our resident, we call him health warrior. And why? Because I'm banging my desk to say that David captains the Apple Health Foods in Redwood City, California. So he gives us a day-to-day story kind of about where the rubber meets the road, where people come to him and ask him health questions and how does nature, Mother Nature, have a way out of these things. And so I think he gives us a fresh look that way, and I kind of give a more scientific look. And somewhere in between that, it might be worth listening to, wouldn't you say, David?
Well, that's what we hope. But, you know, I got a problem. You said we were going to talk about some of the problems with modern medicine. We've only got about an hour today, Bill. I'm afraid we're – well, look, I want to ask you something. Now, I've been a fan – of playing a little game with myself. Whenever I see negative media reports on nutrition, I always try to guess what's wrong with the study, what they're lying about, what they're hiding, what they're spinning, before I actually look into it. And I'd say about 80% of the time I can guess what the problem is. But Bill, I want to play for you and our audience a couple of clips of NBC News recently talking about niacin. Now, I want everybody to hear, just listen to the news report, listen to what they say. It's Brian Williams, the commentator. You'll probably recognize his voice. And Nancy Snyderman, who is the medical editor of NBC News. And I would remind you that I heard Nancy Snyderman, Bill, once on television say, if you put it in your mouth, it's a drug.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we're going to play this for you, folks. It's a little less than 2 minutes. So enjoy, and then we'll give you a commentary.
On our broadcast tonight, risk warning. It's been used for heart health and cholesterol control for 50 years now, and tonight doctors say it doesn't work and could be dangerous. Still ahead for us tonight, the new warning about a popular treatment for heart conditions and cholesterol control and why doctors now say it could be risky. We mentioned this earlier. A warning's been issued tonight concerning a popular cholesterol-lowering treatment that's been used for over half a century. Americans are filling almost 700,000 prescriptions for niacin every month. That number has tripled in the past decade, but now doctors are reporting in the New England Journal of Medicine that it doesn't work for heart health, and worse, they say it could be dangerous. Our chief medical editor, Dr. Nancy Snyderman, here with us to talk about this. Nancy, good evening.
Hey, good evening, Brian. This is niacin, otherwise known to a lot of people as vitamin B3. We're talking about this drug because it's been used to treat high cholesterol. And while statins are the most commonly used drugs to lower cholesterol, many people still use niacin to raise their HDL or good cholesterol, believing that it will reduce the risk of heart attack and stroke. But today's study says that is not the case. Researchers looked at over 25,000 people, half were on niacin, and they found that, one, it does not reduce the risk of heart attack or stroke, causes serious side effects like infections and internal bleeding, and increases the risk of diabetes. So the bottom line is niacin is really only appropriate for patients who cannot use statins, and then only under a very strict supervision with your doctor, and taking over-the-counter niacin, which you can find in a lot of places. The idea of using that to reduce your cholesterol, well, probably not going to do any good either. So my advice tonight is stick that aside and talk to your doctor.
Wow, this really got our attention today. Nancy, thank you, as always.
Okay, Bill, there you go. Niacin, even though – and I just want to say doctors prescribed it for 50 years, according to this, and now they say it's wrong. So that ought to give you a clue about the infallibility of modern medicine. Anyway, so niacin been used for 50 years. Bill, it doesn't work, and it looks like it's awfully risky.
Well, in the first place, it was a misdirection. Niacin was thrown into this misdirection when, in the 1970s, the first cholesterol-lowering drug, Mevacor, which didn't lower significantly lower cholesterol, nor did it lower the death rate from heart disease, but the FDA never took it off the market, and they kept making more toxic, liver-toxic drugs, because that's what you have to do. Make a drug that's toxic to the liver, because the liver does produce cholesterol, and of course, they've always been on the wrong street. We'll get to that another day, where really the primary cause of heart disease today is calcification. But to dig into this niacin study, well, go on, David, because you know the misdirection.
Well, okay, first of all, the impression I got from the news report was that they studied a group of people who did nothing, a placebo, and they studied a group that took niacin. And the niacin group had no benefits and a lot of problems. But in looking at the actual study, they took two groups of statin drug users. So everybody in the study was on statin drugs. Now then, they gave the one group extended release niacin, which does have some potential problems for people, unlike real niacin, and a drug that I'm going to use its trade name, Tridaptive. It's like Lapropoprint. I can't pronounce that very well, honestly. But this Tridaptive was already taken off the market for problems. So folks, what you have here is they gave a bunch of statin drug users, they added niacin and another drug that had been taken off the market. And Bill, okay, the three risky effects that they talked about were diabetes, but that's a known effect of statin drugs. I believe it doubles the risk. Infection, that's also a known risk of statin drugs because the way it's toxic to the liver, it disarms many immune factors. And then the bleeding, which is not associated with statin drugs, is associated with the Tridaptive drug that they added to the niacin to buffer the flush. So this really isn't about niacin at all.
I'm just wondering, David, what do people who are taking niacin or statin drugs, how do they respond? How do you think they'll respond to this? What we're saying, you know, not necessarily the news report. I mean, we're a little disruptive in saying, maybe neither. What do you think?
Well, look, I found one article in this study that started the article by saying, with yet another failure for HDL therapy and niacin. And what they were pointing to was the niacin group did get an increase in good cholesterol and a decrease in bad cholesterol, but it didn't change the cardiovascular outcomes, which is what you and I have been telling people. We're not the only ones, but what you and I have been telling people about cholesterol drugs in the first place, that giving toxins to the liver to manipulate cholesterol numbers doesn't have much to do with preventing heart attacks, and the science bears us out. Bill, I don't know what people
are
going to do.
But let's get, David, we keep missing the ball, and the heart attacks are one thing. Death from heart attacks are another. And most of the deadly sudden death heart attacks are electrical in nature. They're the electrical system of the heart where it fires off and pumps is skewed up, whereas they're looking at cholesterol and plaque. But for the sudden mortal heart attack, this has nothing to do with that, and I think it's about a third of the heart attacks. But the issue is, let's just look at the death rate here. And what they're saying, in one news report, who was this by? I'm trying to look who the source is. But it said niacin was associated with an increased trend towards death from all causes. Now, when they may say increased trend, it wasn't significant statistically, but there was a trend. So in other words, niacin was not really harmful. But the issue is it didn't lower the death rate. Our final measure is who's left standing. Who's left standing alive? And the issue is that's never been shown with statin drugs. They prevent non-mortal heart attacks. In one out of 200 healthy people, one out of 70 unhealthy people over a 5-year period of time. So if you want to take a drug that works 3% of the time, would you like to get a car battery that works 3% of the time? What would you like to get? I mean, this is what – are we here to ridicule, David, the statin drug users? I mean, if you've fallen for this thing, you're saying, look, I don't know. I threw up my hands and gave all of my trust to my doctor who misled me, frankly.
Well, so, Bill, I think everybody thinks – here's what I'd like everybody to listen to. Everybody thinks that when a drug gets approved, it's approved because it has like a really great success rate, 80, 90%. It's only probably doesn't work 10% of the time. And thanks to you, as I've looked at a lot of these studies, they get approved when they get 3, 4, 5% benefit in a small group of people. And that's all it takes.
We're back arguing cholesterol when a few months ago I was talking about a large study in Europe. And they showed that cholesterol, blood sugar, and blood pressure had nothing to do with dying of heart disease, but calcium did, calcium levels. And I keep saying it's the accumulation of minerals, particularly calcium, iron, and copper, that rusts and calcifies our arteries, stiffen. We get a clot then, and we may die of a sudden heart attack. The point is that we've been misled for, well, 40 years on this whole issue, and natural medicine followed and said, well, we have things that raise good cholesterol, the HDL, or lower circulating total cholesterol. And so they just followed the misdirection, trying to sell something from their natural side of the market. And it's turned out that both have been a misdirection. Now, I think we owe the audience, what would we take in order to keep our arteries clear? And I certainly would think we'd take vitamin C.
Okay, you know what, Bill? Let's stop for a second. Let's go ahead and end this segment at throwing darts at modern medicine. What I want you to take from this, folks, is if you know, go back and listen to the archives of our program at haveaheartradio.com and listen to what NBC News told you and then listen to the truth, and you'll see that the media just out and out either – they have to be either really stupid or they have to be prevaricators. I don't think there's anything. So, Bill, let's take a short break, and let's give people some things they can do that are proven to help prevent heart disease and mortal heart attacks, which is what we all care about. So we will take a short break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Garlic, there is no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. Call 866-674-3955 now.
Welcome back, everyone. Have a Heart Health Radio, and what a great time, what a great title for us to talk about heart disease. But something in the title we'd like you to get is yours truly, Dave Stouter, the health warrior, and noted health journalist Bill Sardi. We're here trying our best to share a lot of information with you, information about real health, real science, and common sense so that you can take care of yourself. And we're trying to there's a lot of mythology in modern medicine, believe it or not, and we're trying to explode some of it. So here you go, Bill. You know, I have a lot of people that come into our vitamin store who take a lot of great supplements, but they'll come and say, oh, yeah, do you sell baby aspirin? And I'll go, no, that's a medication. I wouldn't sell that. And they look at me like, well, I mean, doesn't everybody take baby aspirin to prevent heart attacks? Should we all be doing that?
The dose is ineffective. What they're trying to do is keep a clot from forming. If you wanted to take an aspirin, take it at the time of the chest pain. But you need a full dose, 325 milligram aspirin tablet, and that increases the risk of bleeding brain hemorrhages and bleeding gastric ulcers that kill about 6,000 people a year. So you want to go down the baby aspirin. It's not enough to do the blood thinning and keep the clots from forming. So aspirin's more of a problem. But today in the news, and if you can believe this story, and it's shocking, and it turns out that about a quarter of us, 23% to be specific, have a gene. And if we're taking aspirin, it's generally thought to be somewhat helpful, but now dismissed, as we just said. But this gene, I'll read you the name of this gene, the catechol O-methyltransferase gene. It's an enzyme.
Oh, that one.
So that little enzyme is actually protective in the heart. But if we take the aspirin tablet and we have an active form of that gene, we will increase our risk of heart problems by 300%. And as I'm saying, about one out of four of us has an active form of that gene. And this means how many have developed heart disease that led to their death by taking aspirin. This is unbelievable. I mean, I wouldn't touch an aspirin tablet. Who knows who has an active form? We have to genetically test everybody on the planet. It's just too many people.
So you're saying about 25% of the people have a gene,
right,
that if they follow their doctor's advice and take a baby aspirin,
right,
to thin the blood and prevent heart disease and all this, that they're actually increasing their risk, you said, by a factor of 300%.
300%. So this is news today. But, you know, modern medicine keeps cooking up remedies that seem to make more disease, more busyness for themselves. Everything seems to be this way. They never cure anything, and they hide all of this stuff. And where do we go with it all? I don't know where it ends. I really don't know. All I know is these misdirections. There's no apologies in modern medicine for any of them. They just keep happening and happening. So look at the current study. Instead of fingering the statin drugs and this other drug that was taken off the market, they're using niacin as the fall guy. So this is terrible.
And, Bill, I want to point out real quick that to those people that are going, well, wait a minute, what Bill Sardi just said about the aspirin, the gene, well, that can't be true, or my doctor would tell me to stop taking it. They just said in this niacin report where doctors have told you to take niacin for 50 years, and, oh, look, now they're wrong. You know, that's another misdirection. They do get it wrong, and they get it wrong a lot.
If you want to know what to do to take care and keep your arteries clean, start with vitamin C. It's really necessary. There's a number of good reasons. I do have an article online called Three Artery Cleansing Regimens. It's hard to give you the URL, the location of that on the internet, but Three Artery Cleansing Regimens by Bill Sardi. We talk about the use of vitamin C. We talk about chondroitin sulfate. This was used by Dr. Lester Morrison, a cardiologist, a number of years ago, and proven to decrease the death rate. There are a number of things you can do, but if you want to clean out your calcified arteries, then use vitamin D. It's a natural anti-calcifying agent. Use vitamin K. K2 is the one to use that cleans out your arteries, keeps the calcium in your bone not being deposited in your arteries. Use magnesium, a natural calcium blocker, and use, in severe cases, use rice bran, IP6, letter I, letter P6, inositol, hexaphosphate, 6-phosphate molecules, 1 of inositol, makes IP6. It's from rice bran, and it is absolutely cleans out those arteries of those calcifications. So if you want to deal with the cause, which this has all been shown that cholesterol in a recent study, nor blood sugar, nor high blood pressure had anything to do with mortality from heart attacks, but the calcification did. And if you have a calcification measure in your arteries of 0, then your risk of having a heart attack over the next 5 years is next to 0. So it's conclusive, it's clear, and the big money forces in, look, if they tell you this and a doctor gave you these remedies that we just gave you, they need you to come back to their office. They need prescriptions. They need something you need a doctor for. I just think so many of us are so unsure we're going to trust our doctor, and he's got an interest in this thing, a commercial interest. But somehow the people that peddle vitamin pills shouldn't be trusted because they have a commercial interest. So somehow we've been misled, and we don't see the heart attack rates going down, and they just seem to be cooking up more disease to treat. So we gave you some of the remedies there that you might want to put on your list of things to do. And they have never reduced the risk of mortal heart attacks with statin cholesterol-lowering drugs, nor any of their other remedies, nor niacin or any of these things. So both natural or alternative medicine has been on the wrong street when it followed the cholesterol movement and the anti-cholesterol movement. That's been a misdirection. And it's nice that then they, without apology, end up having you lower a number to make you feel better, but you're not getting any healthier. So that's just where modern medicine drug us.
And Bill, I just want to back that up for people. They'll be saying, but wait a minute, Bill. My doctor gave me Lipitor, and it lowered my cholesterol. Let me just point something out, folks. If your house catches fire, your smoke alarm goes off. If you turn off the smoke alarm, does that put out the fire? No. So even if high cholesterol might indicate that your arteries are breaking down and your body's making extra cholesterol to help be a little bit of stickiness in your calcified plaque, turning off your smoke alarm, manipulating your cholesterol number, is not going to put the fire out in the house, not going to prevent heart attacks. That's what we're saying. We know cholesterol drugs lower cholesterol, but what we're saying is the strategy of manipulating your cholesterol number, i.e. turning off the smoke alarm, isn't changing your health.
That's so well said, David. The marker might be useful, but the remedy isn't. So it's just an issue that comes up. Hey, David, I just wanted to throw in some levity because I don't know how much time we have more in this break. And I don't even know the segue to this, but for the last 3 minutes of this segment, I just thought I'd read this headline. I don't know what it means to our audience.
Okay.
Woman eats dog food for a month, lives to tell the tale. So this lady ate dog food for 30 days. She's trying to tell us what the objective was. I guess if you don't have money, you can buy dog food, or I don't know what it all was. There's been a lot of stuff, but I don't know what it all meant except dog food. I don't know that hot dogs are too much better than
Bill,
dog food.
Well, Bill, how about that guy that did that movie, Super Size Me or whatever, that he just ate, not to pick on McDonald's particularly, but he did, and he just ate McDonald's, breakfast, lunch, dinner for a month, and he gained weight, he got sick, had liver problems. So is this proving that dog food is better than fast food?
We just had an article, and I just was on another radio show saying they found a relationship between meat eating and cardiovascular disease, but it was really primarily the processed meats, that is, the sandwich meats, that are preserved with nitrites, and that's largely, we'd think of bacon as the major source, and vitamin C is the antidote. So it's kind of interesting. Dog food, well, I don't know about dog food, but I do know that somehow we even need to watch the meat that we eat. Vitamin C, another wonderful antidote for that. So just throwing in my 2 cents here before we get to the next section of our program, where I'm going to stun your audience because we are going to dethrone Darwinian evolution and tell you something that if you do this, your grandchildren are going to benefit in their lifetime, regardless of what they do, what foods they eat or whatever goes on in their life. If you do this, their health will benefit 2 generations later. So just stick around here. This is Have a Heart Health Radio. Bill Sardi, if you're just driving around, the health journalist, and David Stouter, our health warrior from Apple Health Foods in Redwood City, California. And we just kind of want to give you this breaking news story, and I'll be right back. What do we look like on the clock there, David?
Well, it's a good time to take a break. Bill, since we're in a moment of levity before – I'm very interested in your announcements, by the way. I heard somebody say – maybe it's an old joke. I just hadn't heard it. They said the problem with cured meats is what did they cure it from? So anyway, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Okay.
This is Health Warrior Dave Stouter, and I'm a huge supplement advocate, but more importantly, I'm a consumer advocate, which is what I had in mind when I created Apple Health Foods. You see, I take a tremendous amount of supplements, and I need them to be authentic and reliable and safe. At Apple Health Foods, we have a large selection of high-quality and hard-to-find dietary supplements and body care that yours truly handpicks to be on our shelf from the best companies in the world. We offer a 20% in-store discount to our senior citizens 60 years or better, our CAP members a $25 annual fee, but we offer that discount to anyone who orders on our website, www.applehealthfoods.net. Apple Health Foods can ship supplements anywhere in the country. There are very few places where you can get such a high degree of confidence and a great discount on supplements. Call 877-APPLE-HF. That's 877-277-5343. 877-277-5343. Welcome back, everyone. Have a Heart Radio. Yours truly, Dave Stouter, the Health Warrior, with me, noted health journalist Bill Sardi, who promised us, just before we took a break, an announcement on something that we can do to help the health of our grandchildren, something we can do now. So what are you talking about, Bill? You got my interest.
Before we go there, and now that we have everybody holding their breath, would you tell our audience again the number they can call to leave questions? There's no one live to answer, but if you'd leave your questions for our show. What's that 844 number again, David?
It's 844-49-HEART. That's an easy way to remember it, 844-49-HEART, and that translates to 844-494-3278.
Okay, so leave your questions there for us, because we do like to answer your questions rather than jib-jabbing about things that we're interested in.
Don't be shy. Give us a call.
Okay. So thank you all for your questions, those who have submitted them. We have a remarkable development. You know, in the 1930s, a wonderful scientist at Cornell University, Clive McKay, found out that if he calorie restricted, it started out, I think, with fruit flies, later on worked its way up to mice. And if you took about 40 or 50% of the calories away, the food, and the animal would about double its lifespan, and it would be free of cancer and all manner of maladies that are associated with aging. And so we've known this for a long time, and as you know, our sponsor of our program, Longevinix, is a pill. It's a dietary supplement. And it's presented as a mimic of a calorie-restricted diet. That is, without having to necessarily deprive yourself of food, we found it wasn't just food or calories. It was minerals, and that if you chelate or attach to those minerals that keep accumulating in your body, you won't stiffen and calcify, and you won't rust from the iron and the copper, and you will become youthful again. You can reverse the biological clock hands of time. And that's our claim. We call it the over-mineralization theory of aging. And the Longevinix capsule helps reverse some of those effects. And we've actually seen this in human studies. Dr. Stuart Richer at the Veterans Hospital, North Chicago, showing the dramatic changes in the human eye and reversal of aging changes. And we believe some of this is from this mineral chelating effect. But here we are with a new study. And this one is remarkable in this sense, that when we're born and we're in the womb in the early development, in that time, our genes are imprinted. Now, what I mean by that is I want you to think of a ladder and then it's coiled. And that is the DNA ladder. Well, there's little – the rungs on the ladder are what we call nucleotides. Let's not get too scientific. But those rungs on the ladder, if there's a goof up in their sequence or something's missing, we call that a gene mutation. And gene mutations are involved in about 2% of disease. Let's think Down syndrome kids born that way and so on. That's only about 2% of all disease. 98% involves the process of aging, chronic disease. Infectious disease is a little bit of an exception. So the point is what they did now is that they took animals and calorie restricted them. And then we let them have their babies, one generation, and then two generations, and then three generations. Now, here's the story. The calorie restriction, the animals that were calorie restricted, did live far longer. And so did their offspring. And so did their offspring. And so did their offspring. Three generations live longer because what great-great-great-grandpa did many generations ago.
And wait a minute, and those three successive generations, they were not on a calorie-restricted diet?
Not on a calorie-restricted diet. This is remarkable. It's called gene imprinting. Now, what it means is our biological destiny is not our fate. You know, a lot of folks talk to me and they say, well, my dad died at 45, my mother died at, 51, and so I'm not going to live very long. Or the other way around. You know, my grandfather lived to 98 and my mother to 101, so I'm going to live long. Well, there's some truth to that one if they did some of these things, but it's not necessarily true. But there's a carryover effect, and this remarkable part of this story, and I don't want to get too off track because we're trying to offer you health advice, but Darwinian evolution just fell through the floor. It's gone. Anybody that believes in Darwinian evolution, now, the inheritance that we are getting is through a different method called epigenetics. It's not from mutations on the DNA ladder, but it's from what we call epigenetics. Our genes make proteins, and if you do good things, some good genes will turn on and make proteins, and if you do other kinds of things, the genes will turn off. It's called gene expression or gene silencing. And that's what we do when we restrict calories. Now, what we have is a development here because, you know, they're saying that the people that can afford better foods live longer. In the United States, there's a giant longevity gap. In certain neighborhoods in our country, there are people making good incomes who are living 80 plus years on the average. And there's people down the street a ways, a couple of miles away, that are only living 45, 50 years, no better than they live in a third world country. And they're saying it has to do with food and our diet and maybe too much food and too many sugars. And we know some of the answers to this.
Dog food.
But the issue is that probably we're not going to get everybody to throw their candy bars away and never eat ice cream again and all those kind of things. But we might be able to get people to take what a so-called anti-aging pill that mimics a calorie-restricted diet. What if you switched on the same genes that are switched on if you restricted food from your diet? That's what a pill called Longevinix is, the only proven pill to do this. They took mice. They gave them a low-calorie diet for 12 weeks. They gave another group of mice a resveratrol red wine pill for 12 weeks, and then the Longevinix pill for 12 weeks. The group that was calorie restricted, about 200 genes were switched. In the group that got resveratrol, about 200 genes were switched. But in the group that got Longevinix, 1,711 genes were switched. And it was a remarkable effect. And if you lifelong restricted the calories to those mice, you would activate 831 longevity genes, and Longevinix activated 1,711. And it activated, of those 831 genes, it switched 82% of them in what we call the same direction, on or off, as a calorie-restricted diet. It's the closest thing we have to a proven anti-aging pill. Shown in the mouse study, we would have to do a study for 90 years in humans to conclusively prove this. This was all done. It was all published in the Journal of Experimental Gerontology. Our sponsor is Longevinix. Make such a remarkable pill. If you want to find out more about it, 866-405-4000. 866-405-4000. Leave your name, number. They'll send you information. They'll be happy to call you back. There's no sales calls. We just try to inform our audience and people that are interested in all this. Is Longevinix, like the word longevity, 866-405-4000. You can get a free report on the over-mineralization theory of aging, why we get old, and why an anti-aging pill would reverse, not only just delay, but reverse human aging as we know it. But this is a remarkable study, David. What we do can have longer lasting effects.
Well, what I like, and something that as far as I know, you've been the only voice that's really, I think, picked up on this, is that instead of seeing this almost faded idea of, well, my genetics is this and I'm pretty much stuck with it, and oh well, we're realizing that genetics aren't like these mechanical bricks. They're alive and they're functioning and they're influenced by nutrition. And this is what's so exciting, is that we have the chance to improve, if you will, bad genes. And of course, probably frequently we screw up good genes, but it's not fixed. It's in our control.
If you understand what the biologist just said, we're in a mess. We've had, since the 1970s and the introduction of high fructose corn syrup, along with other genetically modified molecules and so on, we've reprogrammed our entire population to the other side, where they're going to pass on these negative effects for three generations. We have to reprogram the population. They've given us these molecules that have had a dramatic effect in the other direction. And it took a while to get it going, and we could see the effects, and sooner or later, this diabetes epidemic. Now we have children that are, you know, can't fit through the front door, these kids in high school, and they're so fat. How did they get so fat? Because somebody reprogrammed them a couple of generations before on all of these terrible molecules that we put into the food chain, which made the food industry a lot richer because they wanted to get people to eat more, and so they got hooked on sugar and all these things. But we really have a giant reprogramming effort that needs to be made, and it can be made, and we can switch our genes. It's not all inevitable. The point is, we would be well served by a longevity pill like Longevinix, the only one that's been proven and shown in these studies and works better than a plain resveratrol pill that you find in the commercial stores available. So if you're interested in this, it's called Longevinix. I helped formulate it. 866-405-4000. Anybody can learn about this. It's a remarkable study. And, of course, out the door, out the window goes Darwinian evolution here, as we don't – you know, we're learning more from what we call epigenetics and all the switching of genes than we are from Darwinian evolution. By the way, Darwin went to the Galapagos Islands twice for 2 6-month periods, and he didn't have a Kodak snap camera, so he took pictures of the curvature of bird beaks and showed that it changed over that period of time. Folks, Darwinian evolution says those changes occurred over millions of years. Mr. Darwin was not there for millions of years. The bird beaks changed in a short period of time. It was all done through epigenetics, or this switching of genes, the protein making, the gene expression and silencing, which can be done by our environment, hot and cold, radiation, solar radiation, good things, bad things, and in this case, overeating goes one way, and denying ourselves calories and restricting food goes in a beneficial direction. You can mimic that with a dietary supplement called Longevinix, Longevinix.com, like the word longevity, 866-405-4000.
Exciting news, Bill. This is Have a Heart Health Radio. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
A recent study remarkably demonstrated that biological aging can not only be slowed, but reversed, regenerating the production of cellular energy, called adenotriphosphate in muscle tissue, was akin to making a 60-year-old animal 20 years old again, and the effect was produced in just 1 week. This is health journalist Bill Sardi, and modern medicine is racing to develop a pill that will mimic the same youth-restoring effect in humans. A prior animal study showed that Longevinix, an available dietary supplement, works 688% better than plain red wine molecules in this regard. By age 80, only 4% of energy-producing compartments in living cells are functional. No wonder your brain and heart muscles feel punky. What can you do about that? Call 866-405-4000 to find out more about Longevinix. You don't have to become a lab rat to get Longevinix. Go to Longevinix.com or call 866-405-4000.
Welcome back, everyone. Have a Heart Health Radio. Okay, you guys been paying attention? Who are you listening to?
Bill Sardi, a noted health journalist, and David Stouter,
the health warrior. Now, you know, I've read a book by Dr. John Cannell. That name is almost synonymous with vitamin D3. I've heard him on the radio a lot. I think he was one of the founders of the Vitamin D Council, I believe. But he's in the news again, got something interesting to say. What's going on with vitamin D3, Bill?
He sent us a wonderful news story. It's out of a newspaper. And it's from, this is in Georgia, Gentry High School. And they had a losing football team. Oh, they were just miserable. Four wins, eight losses, blah, blah. So what happened is they got a new coach, and he put the entire football team on vitamin D pills. And since then, they've won 30 games, lost six, and they won Georgia's 5A, the high division, competitive football division. They won it, the state championship. And they've cut their team injuries by almost 100% and reduced concussions significantly, all with vitamin D. Can you believe this? You know, vitamin D is a muscle-toning vitamin. It helps keep our immune system going. We are our mood is determined by our vitamin D levels, so we have a better mood. It's a muscle-toning vitamin. So I'm not surprised here. The New York Giants football team was found to be vitamin D deficient. They started taking it and started winning a championship. Same in ice hockey with the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, if you're an athlete, you're involved, you really want to get your vitamin D, and especially people that are dark-skinned, East Indians, African Americans, they just don't make as much vitamin D from sunlight exposure, and good for those athletes to take a supplemental form of sunlight in the form of sunlight in a bottle vitamin D pills. Now, I want to talk about something, we're going to talk about garlic in just a second, but I want to talk about something called brown fat. Now, there's a brown fat that runs right down your spinal cord in that area. And it's been known for some time that brown fat increases the disposal of sugar, glucose, helps you with insulin sensitivity. That is, that the insulin gets in your cells and makes cell energy. Well, it turns out that some people have more brown fat than others. This was in Medscape, the report that shows a website that advises doctors, and they're saying, well, you know, if people have more brown fat, now they don't tell you how to get more brown fat, but they just tell you that people that have more brown fat are leaner and tend not to have as much diabetes, and this is wonderful. And I'm going to read from the British Journal of Nutrition, August of the year 2000, and it says that omega-3 fatty acids increase the level of brown adipose tissue, fat tissue, brown fat, what I just talked about. And it's omega-3 fats. Flaxseed oil, fish oil would be your calling. That would all be in order. This is a remarkable thing. And the doctors are all looking at this. They're just not looking at all of the science. And brown fat, they say it's desirable. It's in the July 23 issue of Diabetes Journal. And they're talking about people having more brown fat, a new area of exploration. And they studied this in the year 2000. And make sure you get some fish oil or some flaxseed oil in your diet, and you'll increase the amount of brown fat. Brown fat holds heat in your body, which then has to do with metabolism, and more heat, more calorie burning, and you tend to be on the leaner side and less diabetes. So good lessons for us there.
Real quick, everybody, do you understand the difference between nutrients and medications? They'll come out with a medication that does something we might consider positive. The longer we study it, the more problems emerge. With nutrients, it seems just the opposite. Here's something we didn't know about omega-3 fats, fish oil, flaxseed oil, brown fat. Bill, you know, you mentioned we want to talk about garlic. I want you to explain something that you said to me once. We were talking about the health benefits of the Mediterranean diet, which is pretty universally recognized as the healthiest diet overall, at least statistically. And you said something. I didn't get it at first. You said you can't eat the Mediterranean diet in America.
Well, that's because the olive oil that we have, we like it clear. Not that dark green olive oil that I tasted in when I was in Greece or in the Mediterranean area. You know, they don't unfiltered olive oil is probably the best for you, where it has those good polyphenolic molecules in it. And that's pretty much what they eat in the Mediterranean area. Also, if we would like a garlic, you know, fresh garlic's fine. If we heat it and cook it, it destroys the allicin, the primary molecule there, and so we don't get the primary health benefits. Garlic pills are mislabeled in the United States, and they get away with saying they have allicin in them when none of them do. And we'll tell you about our sponsor's product, Garlazyme, here, and how it assuredly produces and delivers to you the key molecule in garlic, which is called allicin. But we're just not going to get the same thing because we're going to take these phony garlic pills. We're going to drink red wine. Well, unless the wine is aged 2 years, you need dark red wine, and it needs to be aged to get the concentration of the molecules. Malbec is a good type to get. Some of you folks listening have Trader Joe's stores around, so you can get a reasonable Malbec bottle of wine. I'm not promoting wine drinking and per se, but the issue is that wine drinkers will, if they drink moderately, live longer than others. The point is we're not drinking that wine that is made in the traditional way in Italy and France and elsewhere in the Mediterranean area. We're not getting the same fresh garlic. We're using these garlic pills, which are phonier than a $3 bill. And we're using this olive oil that's not got the polyphenols in it. So if you want the real stuff, and we're going to talk about garlic here a little bit, here's what they found out. Now, this is at the Avicenna Journal of Phytomedicine. Now, Avicenna, it's a location in Iran. So these, you know, some of these countries that don't have all of the money try to solve diseases and things with natural remedies. And Iran is one of them. The doctors are well trained there. They go to American medical schools and end up going back to their own country. And here they were. They were studying diabetes in animals, and they injected it's a molecule that is going to induce diabetes intentionally. So they inject that into the animals. But some of the animals, they give garlic. Some of the garlic was cooked. Some of the garlic was fresh and just crushed, and so on. So what happened? Well, it's interesting because they not only tested diabetes, but they tested the memory, the short-term memory in these animals. And remarkably, get this, the garlic extracts from the fresh garlic, but not the cooked garlic or the aged garlic, only the fresh garlic that had the allicin in it. They mention it here. It's the allicin is the one that improved the memory. They were trying to test diabetes, but it shows you that high blood sugar has something to do with your memory, and the animals retained their memory, even though they injected this terrible chemical in to make them diabetic. The garlic-treated animals maintain their memory. So you want to cheat on a test in school or whatever you're going to do, believe it or not, garlic is a memory pill. Wow, this is a real, real big study. Now, we've got a lot to learn about garlic. Garlazyme, our sponsor's product, you can go to garlazyme.com. Not Garliczyme. That's a competitor who moved in on us, tried to steal a look-alike name. Garlazyme, Garlizyme.com. Watch my Chalk Talk there. You'll love getting it in, you know, oriented as to what the whole story is. If you let your garlic get to your stomach, and the stomach acid negates and destroys and degrades the enzyme that makes allicin, the key active ingredient in garlic, then you're not going to get the full health benefits. What Garlazyme did was put alkalinized minerals and buffer the garlic so that in 9 seconds, it activates allicin. You get the real thing. It's proven in a human study. And the only proven way to deliver allicin is the Garlazyme capsule. If you want to learn more about it, it's only $8.60 a month. When you buy three bags and one month supply bags, you get one free. And you can order it regularly. I think it's like $10.50 a month. But if you buy three bags, you get one free. The shipping's free. Comes out to $8.60 a month. That's 866-674-3955. I think that's the least expensive garlic pill on the market. So you get a great quality, the highest quality garlic pill at the lowest available price, 866-674-3955 or garlazyme.com. Watch my Chalk Talk there. And I'm just reading here on some of the historical uses of garlic used for blood pressure, skin problems, ulcers, respiratory disorders, intestinal worms, dandruff, lice, graying hair, all in the year 1550 BC. We've gone backwards, folks. Why are we not relying on garlic? They're talking here in this study. I'm reading from Immunity to Infections. The Romans used it and marched into war chewing it. They used it to fight tuberculosis a century ago. They didn't have anti-tuberculosis drugs. So they made ointments, compresses, and inhalants from garlic to treat, and it successfully treated tuberculosis in Great Britain over 100 years ago. Field hospitals used it to wrap wounds and for combat infections. It's very well known to fight resistant strains of bacteria, and it goes on and on. What happened to humanity? We've gone backwards. We're not relying on Mother Nature. Garlic is the remedy. And we haven't told everybody how to get the proper optimal use and utility out of garlic. Either fresh crush it and you'll get the allicin molecule. Now, it's tough to get down because it's very pungent then. So it's very difficult on people. If you want to try the Garlazyme capsule, it's alkaline buffered. No garlic odor, no garlic breath. I take it without any of those problems. And you get the full benefit of the garlic, knowing you're getting the allicin. And don't take allicin pretend or allicin potential. That's what's on all of the other brands of garlic pills. Make sure you get the real thing, and you can get it for less today because you don't need to pay $20, $25 a month for garlic pills.
Give us that number again, Bill. The clock's
866-674-3955. And, you know, we get quite a few hundred new customers every month realizing and what it's good for, all the wonderful things. We've got a lot of cases of food poisoning. We've got intestinal parasites like H. pylori and candida overgrowth. We've got sinus issues and so on. All of those things addressed by this wonderful Garlazyme capsule, 866-674-3955. Leave your number. They'll call you back. They'd love to talk to you. Watch my online presentation at garlazyme.com.
Okay, folks, don't forget to give us a call, 844-49-HEART, 844-494-3278. We'll try to get to your questions on the air. Thanks for being with us. We will be back next week, so we look for you to be there.